to the BQBL Failcast for week 12, 2021. I'm Alex. He's Dr. Matthew, doing science. Dr. Matthew, we saw another almost 100-point performance this week out of the most likely of candidates. How exactly did Carolina do it?
Is that the most likely of candidates? We got a lot of teams who you might have expected. I guess
Atlanta was the obvious choice, but they were playing Jacksonville.
That's true. Atlanta's the obvious choice. I don't know. I mean, Zach Wilson was back, so you never know. Though I guess the rest of their quarterback room was with COVID, so they didn't have people to bench him for.
Although that didn't stop them previously benching backups.
No, but I'm saying all of their backups were on the COVID list.
That's fair. So it does make the double benching harder.
Carolina. They did it because Cam Newton was so bad that he was 5 for 21 before getting benched. He threw a 63-yard pass at the start of the game.
64, yeah, to DJ Moore. But that was after DJ Moore let the first one doink off his hands and get intercepted.
Yes.
Moore didn't have a good game. He was targeted 10 times and he caught 4 of them.
Yes, which is not ideal.
No. In fact, the combination of Cam Newton and the player he was benched for, PJ Walker, went 10 for 31.
When that is not a good completion percentage.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It is surprisingly bad.
Yeah.
Not quite below 30%, which we have seen, but close, right? It's 32%, 32 and change. So it was just bad. There was nothing good about it. They got killed by the Dolphins. And he got benched for PJ Walker. And I don't know what Carolina does. I mean, Carolina's, for all the teams with terrible quarterback situations, you know, the Jets having a perennially awful quarterback situation, things like that. The Panthers, just what they have done with it, all the moves that they've made that are sort of all in win now moves, for all of the sort of money and effort they've spent on it, it's up there with worst.
Yeah, I would say from a general manager perspective, and it's been pointed out a number of times, but Carolina is paying Cam Newton. Again, they're paying the player who they brought in to replace Cam Newton, even though he's now in Denver, because yes. The contract they signed with Bridgewater was not advantageous. They're playing Sam Darnold, who they brought in to replace Bridgewater, and as I mentioned, they're paying Cam Newton, as well as the player they benched him for, PJ Walker. So they're paying a lot of quarterbacks, and none of them, it turns out, are any good. So to be paying so many quarterbacks who are playing so poorly is really a testament to the skill and competency of the general manager squad there.
Yes. Not only not playing well, but also not on the team.
Sure. Paying other people's quarterbacks is questionable as a tactic.
It's like somebody went and was like, oh yeah, I like what the New York Mets have done in baseball. Let's copy that.
Yeah. It's like getting cheated on by someone else's girlfriend. Difficult to pull off, but crushing nonetheless.
I don't even know what that means, but sure.
I'm not even sure it's really a thing. The one thing that did save them from having a 100-point performance was that Cam had a rushing touchdown. So
yes.
If not for that, it would have been a slightly larger score that they put up.
Right, and the aforementioned 64-yard pass.
Right. That being the only pass that was over 24 yards. So they only finished with 97. Joe started them. Nice on you, Joe. Joe also started the third highest score this week, which was another team that's trying to figure out what exactly they're doing at the quarterback position. Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger has struggled all season, and they got whooped by Cincinnati 41-10.
They did. I guess they're Carolina and Pittsburgh are actually somewhat similar teams, right? Both hanging on the edge of the playoff conversation. So they're not, you know, total rebuilds. They have got decent defenses. They've got pieces. They're just sort of missing a quarterback. And they were both really missing quarterbacks this week. Roethlisberger threw a few interceptions. He had a pick six. And I think he almost had another one returned for a touchdown as well.
He was bad, and he should feel bad. Yeah, he had three turnovers, and just in general, did not play well. But on the flip side, Cincinnati had to do so little that they actually put up a decent score, you know. Usually, if you're winning 41-10, you're not going to be putting up, you know, positive points. You're putting up negative points. But Joe Burrow right. and Brandon Allen managed to lock down 11 points based on low yardage and an interception, which boosted Will just ahead of you.
Did.
Challenge
that. We had. No, that was not true, because we had very similar Detroit and Cincinnati. One of those teams looked terrible and got beat, and one of them looked dominant, and they both scored 11 points. Yes. So there was that. And so the Will and I came down to our second team.
That's right, because Detroit also scored 11 in yes. a horrible Thanksgiving loss to the Bears.
Yes.
The Lions are now 0-10 and 1.
Yes. And that one tie, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, indeed.
Pittsburgh.
Synchronicity. Yeah, so it came down to Dallas versus Chicago to determine which of you versus Will would come in last this week versus second to last, except that Nick managed to steal the show with a negative 16 from Las Vegas.
Yes.
And he started his two lowest scores. So really, you know, he stole the thunder from both of you guys. But the Dallas versus Chicago, as we mentioned, the Bears did beat the Lions, despite having Andy Dalton be their quarterback.
Who might be a better quarterback than Justin Fields at the moment?
Sure. Yes. And then Dallas lost to Las Vegas, who I mentioned just a minute ago, played the other Thanksgiving game. It went to overtime. There were 28 penalties, and Dallas managed a negative 8.
Yes.
And Chicago, somehow, playing a horrible game, winning the game, ended up with negative 9. So you ended up 1 point ahead of Will.
I did. I needed for one of my two wins on the week.
Yeah.
So, Hooray.
It really only matters because Will is still in it. You are not.
But that is correct.
It did cost Will a win, and he needs all those wins to keep up with Joseph. As we mentioned, Joseph scored 144 this week, easily winning the week. Other front runners this week.
Taken over the overall lead.
He did. Sarah, the other relevant team this week, she started fairly well, in that she ended up with second place on the week. Atlanta gave her only 21 this week, breaking their streak of over 100 point starts. Cleveland gave her 15, as both Cleveland and Baltimore flailed against each other in a horrible game. So she ended up with 36, beating me by 1 point. I had 35. Should have started Baltimore and the four interceptions that Lamar Jackson threw. I did not start Baltimore because I had some kind of mistaken faith. I started instead the Rams and the Giants. I was rewarded on the part of the Rams because Stafford threw his third straight pick six. A pick six in three straight games, which is one game short of the all-time record held by one Matt Schaub. So this week he'll have a chance to break or tie the all-time record, with a fourth consecutive pick six.
we'll all be rooting for him, though I suppose no more than you.
Although the other team, I started the Giants, only ended up with 10. However, Daniel Jones has an apparent neck injury, and we may get to see some Matt Glennon, because when one guy has a neck injury, you bring in the guy with the biggest neck.
The biggest neck. You need the strongest neck.
Yeah, you got to. You've got to go all neck. So I may finally get a Matt Glennon start.
Mike Glennon. The Giants game, the Giants actually won that game. The other team in that game was the second highest score of the week, though it was on Russ's bench, like all the rest of the points.
Yes. Russ started New Orleans and a team TBD. Unfortunately, it was not D'd by Russ. It was instead D'd by score, because he did not send another email. So he got his lowest score, which was Houston's 13. Still a pretty good score, but much lower than Philadelphia's 59, based on the fact that Jalen Hurts went 14 for 31 for 129 yards, no touchdowns, and three picks. No long passes give him a score of 59 and a very healthy second highest score of the week.
Yeah, and I mean, the passing stats weren't that unusual, right? I mean, 14 for 31, I don't know, probably two fewer completions than most of his other games, and he didn't have any rushing touchdowns. I mean, he's been sort of throwing up a maddening amount of, 16 for 30 for 140 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, and like 100 rushing yards and three rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, throwing up being the key phrase there.
Yes.
Philly's been bad this year, and Jalen Hurts is somehow both fully unacceptable as your quarterback and the second highest fantasy scorer on the season among quarterbacks.
Yes.
Which just shows you how much rushing yardage is important and worthwhile. The other high score this week belonged to Tennessee, also on Russ's bench, as you mentioned, where Ryan Tannehill, really, it's not clear that they had a passing game
receiver
or a receiver to throw to. He threw five balls to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and four to Cody Hollister. So those were his two leading targeted players. He did manage a touchdown, but only 93 total yards of passing.
Yes.
And
rare you see a team basically. Yeah, it's rare you see a team run for like 270 yards and not be close to winning.
Mm-hmm.
But that happened.
Yeah, the combination of Dontrell Hilliard and Dante Foreman combined for over 200 and actually for exactly 240 yards rushing.
Okay.
And they were nowhere near in this one. It was 13 points they put up versus New England's 36. The other thing that's worth mentioning this week is that we do have, as you mentioned, a new leader. So
we do. Yes.
So Joseph has not only taken the lead, but he's now 2.5 games clear of his wife and life partner, Sarah. So Joseph has 58, Sarah has 55.5, all fives across the board. Will is down to 54 and is not only not in first place, but he's also not in second place. I would say that those are the teams that are really relevant for the stretch run of the season. The next closest to Will's 54 is me at 46. Not clear that I'm going to threaten for a championship this year. But then there's an even bigger gap down to you at 38.
Yes.
So actually, it's exactly the same size gap.
Yep.
So you have 38, Jake has 37, Russ, and then another gigantic gap down to Russ at 24 and Nick at 23.5. So Russ, despite consistently starting his two worst teams, has now climbed out of the basement and has passed Nick and is no longer in last place, which just goes to show you how bad Nick is doing. Oof.
Yes. Yep. That is that yes, yes, that is true. Nick has struggled again, as we said, all of them basically issues with what he did in the draft. Not management. I mean, kudos to Nick. He is always one of the first players to put in starts, and he's trying. He just doesn't have any good teams.
Well, I mean, for the second straight week, he started his two lowest scores. Last week, he left a 62 on the bench. This week, he didn't leave much on the bench. It was a 13 and a 10. But yeah. Still, it's always disheartening when you make an active choice and it is the worst choice.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
It is. I do that often. And for me, I can never decide between Dallas and the Chargers, and that decision is always wrong. It was again this week, as Justin Herbert seems to only be bad when I, or only be good when I start him. He's looked terrible recently, except for the games when I've started him. But he threw a pick six and did not look good this week. His 30 was again, another one of the high scores on the bench. I think Joe had the top two, and then the next three or four high scores were all on the bench.
Yeah. We did see a Jameis this week. Always fun.
Yes.
When yes. Someone can put up a Jameis. This week it came from the unlikely source of Carson Wentz.
Is Carson Wentz, is that really an unlikely source?
I just don't see him as doing enough.
Okay.
Indy is a running team. I wouldn't imagine that they would be throwing the ball enough to go for 300 yards, three touchdowns, and three turnovers. And yet they did.
They did. Yeah. So congrats to Carson Wentz. We saw some we actually also had on the bench, but some commissioner's discretion points awarded as well for the first time this year, or first time recently. But we could not let pass Kirk Cousins lining up under his guard. We just couldn't let that pass without getting points. There's points for complaining about linemen. So we awarded 5 points for lining up under the wrong lineman. It's sort of a discretionary stupid play that is memed and replayed over and over again.
And he didn't actually fix it. They were forced to call timeout.
Yes. Yep. And everyone was yelling at him. And it was really fun.
Yeah. Kind of like the vaccine thing played out in miniature, where he's clearly wrong, but also clearly holding his viewpoint while everyone else is telling him he is clearly wrong. Really, Kirk Cousins is a special quarterback.
And like weirdly, still better than so many of the quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, we really need this kind of young class of quarterbacks to become something, or we're going to constantly be cycling the Andy Daltons and the Ryan Fitzpatricks back into the starting rotation because they're competent. Like it's amazing how few competent quarterbacks there are.
I forget that Ryan Fitzpatrick was supposed to be a quarterback this year.
He was going to be a starter for the full season.
I know.
And now if you're Washington, Heinicke hasn't been good at all. Like,
no.
Like, I guess he's a little bit better than an average backup, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's right.
And they're technically 5-6. They're technically like in playoff contention, but Heinicke has been not good all year. And now are they going to bring back Fitzpatrick? There's no one to draft. This is one of the worst quarterback classes in recent memory, according to kind of the early returns on this upcoming class. Are they going to be the team that like goes after like Deshaun Watson, or tries to give a soft landing to like Aaron Rodgers? I don't think they could bring in Aaron Rodgers.
No, I don't think they could bring in Aaron Rodgers. No. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, the Washington, Detroit, I just don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Next, again, as you said, the draft is not supposed to be good. So Houston, another one. I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah, it could be that like someone like Jalen Hurts ends up being done in Philly, but gets recycled around the league a little bit.
Yeah, but then who's the starter in Philly?
Gardner Minshew.
Oh, right. That guy.
Are you kidding? Gardner Minshew is the most Philadelphia quarterback that's ever existed. He's also the most Jacksonville quarterback who ever existed. And it turns out that Philadelphia is just the Jacksonville of the North. Don't at me. But Philly would absolutely love Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, they absolutely would.
Hate him too, because that's how they were. But they'll both love and hate Gardner Minshew.
Yes. So with what, 6 more weeks in this season, we should probably spend a little bit of time reviewing the starts and sits, because my memory is we didn't change the
requirements. Yes.
The requirement, which means that the maximum number of starts is 13, I believe, and the minimum is 5. And that means that that's bad news for Will, because he's holding on, trying to stay in touch with Joe in the lead. He only has 3 more starts from his best team, Chicago. And that's, so he started them 10 times. Them and the Giants are the most started teams. So you, Alex, you might get some Mike Glennon, but you only get 3 more starts from them.
I mean, it's fine. I still have Jacksonville.
You do. You still have Jacksonville. Will, on the other hand, has San Francisco, Cincinnati, and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, he has to start 1 more time. So that's bad news for Will. Joe, currently in the lead, has 2 starts left for Green Bay. But other than that, well, I think he can only start Pittsburgh 5 of the last 6 weeks. But I think that shouldn't be too difficult for him.
Russ has to start Tennessee 3 more,
which shouldn't be a problem because, as we discussed, they have no receivers. So he should start them this week.
I mean, he would have started them last week, ostensibly, if he'd said Tennessee, but he didn't.
That's right. I need to start the Chargers 1 more time. I assume that will go poorly. I can only start Detroit 4 more times. Alex, you need to start Baltimore and the Rams once more each. We already talked about your restriction with the Giants. Jake, this probably has the fewest restrictions of anyone. He just can't start Washington all 6 weeks. He only has 5 starts left for Washington. Sarah has to start Kansas City 1 more time. But other than that, she can do whatever she wants. Nick has to start Buffalo once more, can only start Vegas 5 more times. And I was about to say that shouldn't be a problem, but then I realized they've been his best team. So again, there's a reason why he's not doing well. Joe, we already talked about, and Russ as well. He can only start New Orleans 4 more times, in addition to needing 3 starts from Tennessee.
Right. We may have to start intentionally shaping Russ's starts if he continues to fail to start teams. I don't think he will mind.
Yes, and we need to add a week 18 to the score sheet. Make sure all those formulas are calculating properly.
That sounds like a you job.
It does. It does sound like a me job. With Carolina's outburst, they also made it a race for top scoring team again. Carolina still holds that at 438 on the season, but Carolina now up to 406. So that's going to be a competition as the season finishes out for who will be the highest scoring team. Both are far and away better than the third place team, which appears to be Chicago all the way at 278. So no other team over 300, and both of them are over 400.
Yes. Tennessee also, for the record, is easily the best round 4 team, despite the fact that Russ has only started them 2.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I mean, Russ didn't draft poorly.
He's just done everything poorly since then.
Yes. No, opposite of Nick.
It's really, the two of them are just inexorably linked. If you combine the two of them, you'd either have the worst or the best BQBLer. But we all know that the ideal BQBL owner is, in fact, Matt Millen. He would always make the right decision. So when you're making your decisions, please make them Millen-esque. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.